Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Football Friday! What up? What's up? Tiki and Tierney here, ready to go. Tough one for Tiki's G-Man last night. Ugly way to start the season. How's everybody doing on this Friday? Football Friday, obviously, in case you didn't hear. And we're coming to you from our Rocket Mortgage studio. The Tiki and Tierney Show. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget, your family. Rocket can. Heck of a start to the new week. Some big plays, some drama. I mean, we have all sorts of stuff going on. Pete Prisco joins us today. I'm sure he'll rail on Sharp Tierney's rough week one. Very rough week one for Sharp T. We come correct when we win. We gloat when we lose. We say we messed up. We'll do it all, the usual bag of tricks on this Friday. Teak, what's happening, buddy? How are you today?
Can I leave and not talk about the New York Giants in this first segment, please?
You can, but, Ack does it from an update point of view. So, I mean, he just disappears
hey,
on us.
Hey, Ack, hop in real quick. Take care of this segment for me.
No disrespect to Ack. You're a little more important to this show than Ack is, even though we cherish his contributions. So, no, you got to stay.
Yes.
And you got to face it head on.
I need to stay. I need to talk about this Giants team. So, Moose from Moose and Maggie, our local WFAN show that precedes us, but still they're on the air, and I do a hit with them every Wednesday. I came in, first thing he said to me was, "What's your biggest takeaway from the game last night?" And I said, "The thing, I said, God, there's so much that happened, whether it was how well Daniel Jones played, or you know the offsides by Dexter Lawrence that gave Hoskins an extra opportunity to kick the game-winning field goal, or Saquon Barkley really just having one good play and 12 other carries for 16 yards. I didn't know what the big takeaway is. And the more we chatted and talked, I came up with my big takeaway from the game last night. And it's an easy one, and it's a simple one. Mm-hmm. Daniel Jones is the best athlete on the New York Giants. And when the game is in the line, they need to put it in his hands. They drafted him with the 6th pick in 2019 to be their franchise quarterback. You're the best player at the most important position in the National Football League. So when the game is on the line, after James Bradbury picks off a horrendous decision by Taylor Heinicke.
The only bad decision Heinicke made all night, by the way.
Only
played
one.
Great.
Only one. And by the way, if he had put the ball on his outside shoulder, it actually would have been a good decision.
Yes.
Right? He just missed through it. He threw it inside as opposed to outside. Yeah. And Bradbury had an easy interception.
Who had a rough game, by the way.
Very
and McLaurin
very,
sliced him up all
very
night.
Very rough game. But he made his dividend. I mean, he
little,
made his
penance.
He got his penance, right?
He did.
20-yard line.
Yeah.
Giants play conservative, kick the field goal. It's third down, man. It's third and 6 or 7, whatever it is. And in my mind, I'm saying, they're not going to throw the ball. They should just run a zone read with Daniel Jones.
Yep.
Stick the ball in Saquon Barkley's belly. Let everybody collapse. Pull that thing and go trucking. Because he did hit multiple times, including a 58-yard touchdown. They got called back. And another, exactly, holding another big run down the left sideline, a draw that scored a touchdown. Daniel Jones is the best athlete on that field.
Dude, he flies.
He flies. He's big.
Is he like
strong,
faster than like Jalen Ramsey, like cornerback?
I don't know,
the guy
man
hit top speed, 22 miles per hour.
I don't know.
That's like cheetah territory.
I don't
for
know,
the
BT.
Chiefs. But how fast is this guy?
I'm telling you. But that's my takeaway.
Somebody called him Vanilla Vic last night. That's actually a really good one.
That is a good
Vanilla
one.
Vanilla Vic.
By the way, give them the ball in that moment. Yeah, it's third and whatever on the 20-yard line. Instead of setting for the field goal, put the ball in your best player's hands as an athlete. Not as a quarterback, as an athlete, because you want to play conservative and be safe. Do it that way. They would have bit all day on that, trying to stop Saquon Barkley or whatever the run play was. And so I'm frustrated by this game. I'm encouraged by Daniel Jones, who had a great rebound game from his week one. He looked the part. He felt the part. They were more creative for most of the game until that last series with their offense. And other than the offensive line issues that are derailing Saquon Barkley's rushing average on the season and maybe for the next couple of years. I thought they played well offensively. They just, the mistake at the end just drives you nuts.
If I parachuted from Pluto and I knew nothing about the NFL that I watched this game, I'd say, this guy looks like one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. That's Daniel Jones was phenomenal last night. Phenomenal. So I'm with you on that. My takeaways, I'm going to jump around a little bit to obviously incorporate the team that actually won the game.
Yeah.
You know, that would be Washington.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about them.
I don't know what the hell Jack Del Rio was waiting for to get these guys going a little bit. Far too conservative to start. Once they start pinning the ears back, once they started to do that, they started to wreck the game a little bit, and you start to see that dominant front seven, really the front four, I should say, for Washington impose their will. And I think that's going to trigger something for them moving forward. I said the other – something positive, obviously. I said the other day that the moment – and I preface it with great respect for Fitzpatrick, love the guy, blah, 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 which I certainly mean, and I think most people would co-sign that statement. But the moment that Ryan Fitzpatrick hurt his hip, Washington became a better football team. Because Taylor Heinicke is better. Taylor Heinicke, that one bad throw aside, no doubt. McClure's was in an odd spot. He was like coming around the ball. Yeah. It's not his fault. It's Heinicke's fault for sure.
Yeah.
But that was the only bad play he made. That dime to was it Jones Seal? Who had that? Was it Ricky
end.
Jones Seal?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that. I knew I wasn't saying that
Ricky
right.
Ricky Seals Jones.
Well, worked up. I want to squeeze it all in. That was a. Talk about going and getting the high point of the ball. Yeah. Great catch, great throw. All right, so. I have no issues with Washington. I thought they'd win the game. I thought they'd win a little bit easier. My concerns are for your Giants, and they are far more grave than what you just presented. Mm-hmm. Number one, the aura, the early aura, because only, you know, two games into year two, the early aura, all right, the scout report on Joe Judge is that he's a disciplinarian.
Yeah.
He's a no-nonsense guy. You mess up in practice, we're running gassers. We're barking at people. Kelvin Benjamin, not that Kelvin Benjamin matters in the NFL anymore, but they had that spat on the field. He had some issues last year. I don't have an issue with the issue that Joe Judge had last year, but Joe Judge... There was a little friction, which I thought was necessary because the team was too complacent. Nobody's had a worse record the last 4 years than the Giants. So I thought, and I still like Joe, but if Joe was going to fancy himself as a disciplinarian, you can't jump off sides, number one. Mm-hmm. You can't give him another shot at the field goal. Number two.
Was he offsides?
It doesn't matter. You can always. But by the way, these whistles are 50-50. They drive me nuts. They really do. They slow down the flow of the game.
So subjective.
I can't stand it. The other thing that bothered me about Joe, and it goes back to the week one game, if you're going to be viewed as from the Belichick tree and Belichickian disciple, you got to know the rule book. Mm-hmm. And Joe Judge did not know the rule book last week because he challenged a play you cannot challenge, and he got burned of a timeout, number one. So you start to look at the early returns this season. They're 0-2. They lost a divisional game. They absolutely should have won. Didn't know the situation with the timeout in week one. Now you got guys chirping, Kenny Galladay, yapping at Daniel Jones. Jones did the right thing. He basically ignored him. Now you got the kid, Tony, the first-round pick, receiver. He's putting his grievances on Instagram. I'm not happy. This bleep is lame. There is a little bit of a stench, like a little something that's building around the Giants that better be snuffed out soon. I do not like the direction they're going in. I don't like it. Barkley looks like he's a shell of himself. You just lost your center for the season. I know the O-line played pretty well after that, but that I think is going to be an issue. The Giants have big problems.
Well, I don't know if they have big problems. I mean, they're still rebuilding as a team. The Giants weren't going anywhere in 2021.
Well, then why weren't we telling everybody this summer that they're going to be good?
But why weren't we telling everybody this summer they're going to be good?
We told everybody we thought they'd be good this year.
Good to me is a over 500 record. 9-8 is good to me. That's what I think the Giants are going to be. That's what I said all offseason, that they're going to be 9-8. Maybe they could win the division because the division stinks, right? I don't know.
I don't think it stinks.
I don't either now, but I thought leading into the season, the division would stink. The Eagles, I thought, were going to be bad. Jalen Hurts looks like a champion. The Dallas Cowboys have one of the worst defense, and now DeMarcus Lawrence is hurt.
Yep.
I thought they were going to be bad. They almost outscored. They didn't beat, but they almost outscored the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the defending Super Bowl champions. The Washington football team, I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick, your quarterback, your offense is kind of, you know, on paper, okay, but we haven't seen their offense. I do, too.
They're one of the five or six best receivers in football.
I'm talking about in the preseason. And ultimately, you didn't have an idea who was standing out in this division. So the Giants obviously had a chance. Maybe they could win the division if they go 9-8. Let's not forget that 7-9 won it last year. And so I think the Giants can be good. I don't think their season's in trouble. I think ultimately this Giants team is so much of a work in progress, and so much matters about the expectations that are being set for them. And for Joe Judge, he's got to do something immediately that I'm assuming he's doing, but I'm not seeing it by how some of these guys are reacting. First, Kenny Galladay, and then Kadarius Toney, which you just mentioned. I remember when I struggled early in my career, Jim Fossil pulled me aside one day, and we had a long conversation about what he expected from me individually. He said, "Tiki, I know that you want to be the man. I know you want to start," because I ended up starting my first game of my season, and it was great. I got hurt. I became less effective, more of a liability, so to speak. He said, "This is what I want you to do. This is who you are to me, and this is where you can grow, but this is what I need you to do right now." I don't know if Joe George is doing that, because when I hear things like Kadarius Toney, who didn't practice at all this offseason, who's petulant and acting like a kid without his toy, he hasn't earned the right to get reps on the field. So be quiet. The only reason I think he's saying that is because Joe Judge hasn't had this expectation. What is he expecting of him this season? The same thing can happen with Kenny Galladay. Now, I don't think Kenny Galladay is really upset. I think he's just frustrated. Daniel Jones missed him a couple of times on a couple of those dig routes, those in-cutting routes. He just missed them. A couple were high. He wasn't highly used, targeted in this game. It was more Sterling Shepard, who clearly he has a better relationship with. And when I hear Joe Judge talking about how we want to tell guys the truth,
mm-hmm.
I hope he's doing that in practice and not just paying us lip service. This is Joe after the game.
No, we got a resilient team. We got a mentally tough team. We got a team that sticks together. We got a group of men look each other in the eye and tell them the truth. You know, we're very big on telling our players the truth. We're very big on having the players be honest with each other, with us as coaches. You know, that's what separates a lot of teams right there in terms of, can you overcome some adversity?
And that's basically why I feel okay about mm-hmm. this, because if they're actually doing that, and it felt like Daniel Jones was doing that. Daniel Jones, when Kenny Galladay was screaming at him on the sideline, he just looked at him like, come on, dude. What are you talking about?
Receivers chirping never really bothers me that much.
Calm down. It doesn't do you any good to yell at me right now.
But it's your second game with the team.
I agree.
And you guys were playing pretty well, too.
Exactly.
It's not like you're down 35-3.
Exactly. Chill out. I understand you're frustrated because you're not the leading receiver on the team right now, but chill out.
And Daniel Jones, he in week one.
And Daniel Jones handled it.
Yeah. Well, Daniel Jones, great head on his shoulders.
And then he handled it in the media afterwards as well. So as long as the communication is open, and I don't know if it is, but if it is, the Giants will be okay. There's troubles, obviously, because the offensive line is now banged up. Who knows where they go. Their run game is horrendous. But I'm not that concerned. Because this was a game that people had them not necessarily getting blown out by, but not winning. And for the majority of the game, it felt like they were in control and could easily have won the game.
See, but there's two things to attack here. And I hear you. The communication aspect from Judge, which is paramount for any young head coach. You have to establish a template of expectations. And I think he's done that. But if guys start to deviate from it, especially the new guys who just rolled in, like Galladay, like Toney, you've got to reestablish that, and I'm sure that he's in the process of doing that. That's one thing. The other thing, though, that I think is probably, maybe not more important, but as important, is that this is not a buttoned-up team in terms of discipline.
Well, I mean,
and they committed 11 penalties.
Yeah.
Last week, again, I hate to keep referencing this, but when your head coach doesn't know the rule, it's inexcusable. I don't care if you coach the Jaguars, the Jets, the Panthers, the Giants. I like Joe Judge. Check my social media feed. I always defend Joe Judge. You have to know the rule book.
I think he knew the rule. He explained this at later on in the week. He basically said, "I was trying to get the referee's attention. He wouldn't pay attention to me, so I threw the flag." You're right. It ends up costing them a timeout.
Guys.
You can't be pissed off at the referee and cost your team a timeout. So it's not
got to be in control.
To me, it's less about the rules and less and more about him controlling his emotions.
Either way, it's still not the best look for a head coach trying to establish himself.
I agree, but I can't position that as him not knowing the rules.
Okay.
I think it was more he didn't know how to express himself to the ref. And by the way, that's something that's earned, right? As a second year head coach, basically 17 games in, these guys don't know you yet, right? You can't just be like, "Hey, Bob, come over here. I need to talk to you." You know, like Coughlin used to, or let's say Pete Carroll would.
Or even Ron Rivera
or
last
Ron
night.
Rivera,
I get it.
Or
same with a baseball umpire. You gotta get a little more leeway if you've been in a dugout for 10 years.
You got to earn it a little bit. The referee last week was pretty sure that his call was right on the field. He didn't want to hear Joe Judge. And so he just ignored Joe Judge. And Joe Judge got pissed and threw the flag, which was stupid because it cost him a penalty. It cost him a timeout. You're right.
Yep.
I don't think it was a lack of knowing the rules. I think it was more a lack of controlling his emotions in the moment, which is
either way, the result was not favorable for the Giants. Right. And here's what would worry me, too. Like, if I'm a Giants fan today, I'm sitting there saying, man, I heard all day, really all summer, but before last night's game, all day, Daniel Jones, is he going to trip over the turf? I'm talking about social media. Mm-hmm. Is he going to trip over the turf monster? How many fumbles is Daniel Jones going to have to? Could he beat anybody but Washington? Like, these are all things before the game, right? Daniel Jones, I know he missed out on about two or three throws. You're right. But Daniel Jones played a borderline sublime game,
mm-hmm.
and they still lost.
Yeah. That's because they're not good enough.
But that's my point. I thought they'd be better. I have the Giants as the last wild card.
Yeah, here's the
that's
thing.
That's why I was checking the binder before.
At the end of the day, if you don't have a stout offensive line, if you're not ass kickers in the trenches on the defensive line, you're going to struggle at points. And that's just the reality of it. The Giants aren't – I mean, they shuffled their offensive line. They had all training camp. They play one game,
yep.
and they change up the offensive line.
And the guy
line.
Gets hurt.
And he gets hurt.
The guy gets hurt.
I mean, the kid Price – he's not a kid, actually. I think he's been in the league now for four or five years from Ohio State. I remember him when doing a couple games watching him play. He was supposed to be a really good player, the center, the guy who they put in at center for this game. He mentioned his name in the preseason.
Mm.
And in week two, he's starting?
Yeah.
Right? That just tells you how poorly constructed, thought out this offensive line depth chart is, and it's going to be an issue all season long. Mm. It's why Saquon, is averaging 2-point-something yards a carry. It's because there's no holes. There's nowhere for him to go. Granted, he's not comfortable yet. You can see it.
Yep.
But there really isn't anywhere to run. So I hear you. Daniel Jones, I loved the way he played. He is the best athlete on this team, and I mean that offense and defense. He's a stud. You can see it. And when they let him just go cook, he actually plays really good football.
Yep.
And that's,
you were calling for that yesterday.
Exactly.
And you were right.
And that's encouraging.
Yep.
Put the ball in his hands,
yep.
man. He's not going to get hurt. He's a big kid. He's not stupid and going to take bad shots. And I think he'll learn, how to get down as opposed to I can barrel through this guy, which led to the fumble in week one, and take the shot on my shoulder. You should never do that. Use your legs. When you've had enough, get down. I liked Daniel Jones. The rest of this team, I'm having questions about.
Well, however you interpret the loss last night, whether you're a little more with me or somewhere in between or aligned with Tiki, I think it's hard to deny that moving forward now, the spotlight is on the Giants. How they respond to this defeat. Didn't look good against the Broncos at home against Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy sliced them up. Denver did what they wanted on third down. No need to reset week one, but you're 0-2. And, it's pretty soon it's going to be go time. So we'll see how the G-men respond. Coming up, Washington responded well. All right, tough loss against the Chargers. This team is, it's funny. If you watch the first half, you're like, man, this team is wildly overrated. If you watch the second team, if you were emboldened enough over the summer, like you and I both were, for the most part, to position Washington as, at least on paper, the best team in the NFC East, you're sitting there saying, all right, this is the team I thought we'd see. So exactly who is the Washington football team? We'll hit that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, what's happening? Tiki and Tierney, Football Friday. All good. Hey, Sunday, another NFL on CBS doubleheader is at you. Early action, the Raiders battle the Steelers. Or an exciting matchup. A couple of good young rookie quarterbacks, the Pats and the Jets, as Mac Jones and Zach Wilson hook up, and then second-year sensation Justin Herbert and the high-octane Bolts take on Dallas Cowboys, who seemingly have not played in 3 months, it feels like, the Dallas Cowboys,
it
right?
It does, that first game Thursday night.
Yep.
Long time.
It's a long time. Okay, we'll kind of feel the same way about the Giants in Washington after going into next week.
Yep.
Coverage beginning at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. JB and the crew, the NFL today, all getting you ready for what should be a fun week two. Already off to a great start. And listen, we're going to have dips where these national games, a couple of snooze fests, mm-hmm. and boring, and some matchups that seem good now where they just some team goes sideways and you can't quite flex out a game. We're going to have to sit through it, and we will, because we love football and we love to gamble and we love to, do fantasy. But this has been an amazing start to the season between the Cowboys and the Bucks to open it,
mm-hmm.
the Raiders and the Ravens to wrap it up on that overtime thriller Monday, first game with fans in Vegas. And then last night, in Landover, 30 miles outside of the nation's capital, I mean, a sick finish between two hated division rivals.
Yeah, look, if you didn't have a dog in the fight, it was an entertaining game to watch.
Yes, you would
stick with it because it came down to the wire and there was drama.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Until literally the last play of the game with the field goal, the game-winning field goal. And so, yeah, I agree with you, BT. Football has been unpredictable, both the college ranks and the NFL ranks. But last night I thought it was fun. And it was frustrating ultimately because of my Giants losing, but it was definitely a fun night last night.
It was. And, listen, you can tell I was watching the post game on NFL Network, and they were chanting, Heineke, Heineke.
That was great.
They wanted Taylor to come out and join the boys and the lady on set. And he did.
Yeah.
And he was asked a pretty interesting question. I believe this is from Michael Irvin about, what kind of grip will he have on the starting quarterback spot. And Taylor Heineke did not run from basically backing himself up.
I do, and I have confidence that I can do it. So if those guys in the locker room and the facility believe in me, that's all that matters. And I think they do. So let's try to keep this ball rolling.
Yeah, that's not arrogant. That's just reacting honestly. And by the way, there's an energy, and I compared it a little bit, although it's such a much smaller sample, with Justin Fields, who's only scored, played one game, he scored one touchdown. But
five plays he had or something like
five
that.
Five or six plays. Yeah. At least Heineke played the playoff game a year ago. He's been around for a little bit. But there is an undeniable, very easy to decipher energy around Taylor Heineke from his teammates.
Yeah, that's the biggest
thing. That matters.
Look, we saw that last year with Chase Young basically hyping him. He was this hype machine.
Yeah, pointing to the jersey.
Yep,
my guy.
Personal hype man. In game, he was doing that.
Yeah,
and
in the end zone.
Exactly. He's still doing it right now. And so the question becomes for the Washington football team, have they found potentially their quarterback of the future?
You know I like him.
And I give Ron Rivera so much credit because he knew that the Washington football team needed to be rebuilt in so many ways. Their defense had started to be rebuilt because they were drafting defensive linemen and you know, second defensive
Sweat, Allen,
over and over,
even before Chase.
I think their whole starting line. I think it is.
They're all four first rounders.
They're all first rounders, and so they built defensively with the core on the defensive side. And then when he came in, he easily could have spent money or draft capital on a high end quarterback. Right, but the problem is when you do that before you've built, weapons for him, wide receivers, a tight end. You get lucky with Logan Thomas, by the way, because remember we thought he was crashing out of the league early. First, as a quarterback, came in from Virginia Tech, and then his conversion to tight end was a little dicey. Didn't think it was going to happen. Now he's really good.
He's pretty good.
You get a good running back, and your offensive line you build up, and now you find a quarterback who you trust, undrafted kid out of ODU. And
the Monarchs.
He's just balling. And so I was asking BT who the best quarterback undrafted all time is.
And what was my initial immediate response?
Immediate answer, and it's an obvious one, is Kurt Warner, because he's a Hall of Famer. But I've actually been a lot of these. Warren Moon, but he's a little bit of a caveat.
Very much so.
Because of the Canadian League.
And, honestly, because he's black.
He was black.
It was held against him. He just didn't get a chance.
In an era when you just... Black quarterbacks in 1978.
Yep.
Yeah. Nah, you an athlete too? Nah, we don't want you.
Yep. Go up to Canada.
Exactly. And he balled up in Canada, and then he came back to the States, and he balled.
He was awesome. We've had Warren on a bunch.
He was great.
He was really good. Who else you got?
And then you throw in the Tony Romos of the world.
Oh, I forgot about Tony.
You always forget about Tony Romo.
Yeah.
From Eastern Illinois back in 2003, just kind of found his way into. I remember the game. I was playing the Giants. When Drew Bledsoe, who gave way also to Tom Brady when he was with the Patriots, threw three interceptions. No, he got sacked three times in the first half in the Giants Cowboys game, and then we fumbled right before halftime. I fumbled right before halftime. He got the ball back point blank, threw an interception to Sam Madison.
Sam Madison,
on the next
former
play,
Dolphin too.
Right on the next play.
Yeah,
and we go into halftime. Status quo. Come back out. Starting quarterback is Tony Romo.
Tony.
So I remember that.
All these games blend together. That wasn't the game LeVar Arrington ruptured his Achilles, was it? Was that a primetime game?
I don't believe so. I don't think. Maybe it was actually. I don't know.
You'd know better. For some, I remember LeVar ruptured his Achilles against Dallas.
Yes,
he did. I remember.
Jeff Garcia pops up.
Good player.
Pops up in the conversation.
Couple different spots. He was a good player too.
Another San Francisco. Another one I have history with the largest comeback in the postseason.
We lost that's true.
That Trey Junkin wild card game. Mm. And then lastly, it's an old guy, Dave Craig. That most people
from Seattle. Yeah. Don't just brush him aside. He was great, Steve Largent.
But if you're listening now and you didn't watch the game back in the 70s, you don't know that.
Their history. So learn your history.
There have been some really good quarterbacks that were undrafted.
Anybody else? I love these games. Any other name? Give me some other names.
I'll give you, if
they're not like top five, but just.
Yeah, Romo's the big one. Mike Tomczak was another one.
Former Bear, bounced around a little bit.
Eric Kramer.
Kramer, Vikings. Kramer,
yep. And also
primarily
in Detroit.
Yep.
John Kitna.
Kitna was
out of Central
Bengals
Washington.
Was not bad.
No, okay, right.
He's a coach.
He was.
Very smart guy, Kitna. Always had the shaved head before white guys were shaving the dome.
Here's another one that played in a Super Bowl. I saw him last weekend down in Carolina. He's got one of the greatest accents you ever listened to. Jake DeLome.
Oh, Jay, we had him on the show a month ago, Jake.
Exactly. And then
he wasn't drafted, huh?
He was not. He was not drafted.
Wow.
So, there's a few.
Okay.
There's a few.
Okay.
That have been undrafted and then had like really good success.
Yeah.
And I bring that up because in today's NFL, we're like, well, like a kid wasn't a first round draft pick or a second round draft pick. He can't be the quarterback of the future.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, if Taylor Heinicke plays his next 6, 7, 8 games, just like he did last night.
Fitz is not playing. That's his job.
That's exactly right.
He's the quarterback of Washington.
75% of his passes.
He's the quarterback.
For 336 yards and two touchdowns, one of which was a dime.
Great
and
throw.
Clutch time.
Yes.
Two-play drive.
Yeah. The little wheel route, which, by the way, horrible defense.
Horrible.
Talking
horrible.
About biting on a
horrible,
wheel route.
Horrible defense. So running back, what's he going to do? He's running. He's at the sideline. He can't do anything at that point. He's got to go up. But anyways, Taylor Heinicke could turn into one of these kids.
I like the kid.
I really do. And more importantly, his team likes him.
That's I know.
Right? Which is awesome. I kind of love stories like this.
Yeah.
Where, a kid out of nowhere just kind of falls onto the scene and just gets an opportunity and is ready for it. Because sometimes guys get opportunities and they crap the bed.
Yep.
Taylor Heinicke feels like he's ready for this.
Yeah, he looks it. He just emits energy, a little charisma, a little spunk.
Yep.
Not afraid of the moment. I want to hear something from Ron Rivera on the defense, and then we'll get the update from Mac. We'll come back, hit you with inbounds, out of bounds, because it was getting gashed, and more importantly, getting pushed around.
Yeah, 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, for sure. Charger, yeah, true. But the first half, like, physically out-muscled by the Giants, and the Giants O-line doesn't really do that to too many people or too many teams. Here's Rivera postgame on the defense.
As you know, this defense was talked about, highly touted, coming out of the training camp. Disappointment, frustration there maybe they're not playing at their ability. And are they correctable? I mean, I know you haven't seen
correctable.
The film.
Once we get an opportunity to take a good look at the tape, take a real good dive into it, we're going to correct some things, you know, because these young men are – there's too many good football players for us not to play better than what we did today. I mean, and that's the big disappointment is that they are good football players. But we got to correct some things, and we got to get a real good look at that.
Now, his eyes were burning a hole through that camera lens last night. He was fuming at one point. And then finally he probably went up to Jack Del Rio. He's like, hey, start bringing some guys. Start blitzing and start doing something.
That's right.
And that worked.
That's right.
All right. Coming up after Ack's update, is Ack working today? You never know. I mean, Ack gets 37,000 days off a year. Is that Ack? You with us today? You working? You not? Hey, Ack decided to work. Football Friday, Tiki's gracing us with his presence. That a boy, Ack. How you feeling about your Giants? Are you worried about your Giants?
A little, yeah.
I think you have to be.
Yeah.
You know why? It's just the line. I thought they would be better. Obviously, the mistakes were – they left so many points on the board last night, you know, in addition to the Dexter Lawrence snafu.
Slayton.
But that offensive line, though, you got to be better.
Yeah.
There's got to be a way.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, by the way, the overthrow to Slayton, it wasn't an overthrow. It was on the money. He should lay out and get that one. But the reason it was a little bit long is because Daniel Jones got drilled. As soon as he
did
let
take
it go.
A shot.
As soon as he
took
let
a
it
shot,
go.
That's
he
true.
He couldn't follow through on that ball.
Hold on one sec, Rich. A few other people who play the game have said, I've heard today, he should have laid out for it. To me, when it hits your hand, I know it wasn't a perfect, perfect throw.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 inches long. But to lay out, wouldn't that have increased the degree of difficulty?
Yes, but it would have given him a chance to get his pads, like the pad of the palm of his hands on the ball. Right, it's really hard to catch a football that's going away from you with tips of your fingers.
Gotcha.
Right. And
gotcha.
So if it hits your fingers, I mean, you got to. It's almost you got to plan to catch it with your tip of your fingers. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
Right. You gotta, I know I got to squeeze really tight as soon as it hits my fingers. And it's got to be timed just right.
Okay.
But if you lay out, at least it's hitting your palm.
Gotcha.
And then you can bring it in that way.
Okay. Good explanation. That's good. I didn't really even think of that. That's why you played, and that's why I didn't.
It hit your
that's
hand.
One of the reasons why you played.
But here's the reality.
What if about 30,000?
It hits your hands, you catch it.
That's what we say on the baseball diamond. Right. Gets leather, make the play.
Exactly.
Axe update right now. Coming up, inbounds, out of bounds. Is Mr. Ohtani's epic season over? Wow.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, Tiki and Tierney Football Friday. What's happening? CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Hope all is well. A little Bama, Florida coming up this weekend. Hard Knocks. Forget about the cancellation. They're expanding. Got a lot to hit. First, though, we hit Ask the Pros. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Drop us a tweet. Send it to at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag Ask the Pros. At CBS Sports Radio, hashtag Ask the Pros. Stick around. Listen later on. And we'll soar through and we'll take the best one. We'll debate it. We'll kick it around. Whatever we need to do on the air. And we'll give you some props as well. Or make fun of you if it's a dumb question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. So, hour two coming up, Bama, Florida. I don't think the Gators have had that kind of underdog status in the swamp in, I think, well over a decade.
Yeah, it's been a while.
14.5-point dogs.
But Alabama is just stout.
That's why I didn't say you don't lay the wood.
Yeah.
But that should be a lot of fun. Their young quarterback situation, the Gators. We'll keep an eye on that. We'll do that next hour. Pete Prisco as well, CBS Sports HQ NFL analyst. And we've got to dive into the Eagles. Like, you know, how seriously do we take that first win as they get ready to take on what at this point is a pretty banged up Niners defense? That should be a lot of fun. A sneaky good game. But right now we hit a little inbounds, out of bounds. Tiki, good to go?
I am.
All right, Stu Guest, let's get it.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki, here we go. Despite losing 28-10 in week one to the Seahawks, Carson Wentz was solid. First start for the Colts here, completing 66% of his passes for 250 and a couple of TDs, no picks. However, the Colts schedule doesn't get any easier with the Rams this week, followed by the Titans, Dolphins, and the Ravens. So, despite the loss to Seattle, we are more confident in the Colts than we were before week one after Wentz's performance.
Yeah, I'm going to say inbounds of that, BT. I was just unsure of how he would play new system, even though it's a familiar system, and not having any practice in the offseason because of that foot injury or foot surgery that he had to pull that extra bone out. But yeah, I'm confident in him. We know he's good. As long as nothing gets in his head, he'll be fine, and the Colts will be fine because they're so good defensively.
Yeah, I'm going to say out of bounds. I'm not really married to this. I didn't love what I saw week one. Why would you? But, you know, I think the thing that needs to be said is that Seattle, we focus on Lockett and Metcalf and, of course, Russell Wilson, Carson. But their defense, the last part of last year, was getting much better, and that carried into week one. So I'm not saying it was a bad loss. Seattle's obviously a very good team. But I'm going to say out of bounds. I don't know. I don't even know why I'm saying out of bounds, but I'm saying out of bounds. The one thing I'll point, though, to the schedule, right? Like, I don't know that it's as daunting as Samter makes it out to be. Like, the Titans looked inept in week one against the Cardinals, blitzed. The Dolphins, all right. I mean, Dolphins are okay. And the Ravens are ravaged with injuries. So even if they fall to 0-2, which they will in all probability, they still have a chance to resuscitate their season. I just convinced myself. I'm going from out of bounds to inbounds. Switch my answer. Inbounds. I'm with Tiki.
Are you in? The long route, Tiki.
Nice. All right. Shohei Ohtani's historic and likely MVP season with the Angels is probably coming to an end, at least on the mound, that is. So the team reportedly prepared to shut him down as a pitcher with the star dealing with arm soreness. That's going to keep him out of tonight's scheduled start. Now, we all know he didn't pitch all the 2019, and he made just a couple of starts a year ago as he recovered from Tommy John surgery. In or out there, Barber? As the arm issues continue to build up for Ohtani, it's clear to us he cannot be a two-way player long-term.
Well, I'm going to say out of bounds because long-term I'm going to say 3 or 4 more years. Mm-hmm. I think this might just be we're out of this thing. It's not even worth it. We're 10 games behind the wild card. They're not making it to the postseason. Why tax him in more ways than need be? And so they're not necessarily shutting him down like fully. because they want him to try to get the home run lead, I'm sure. But they're shutting him down from pitching on the mound, which he doesn't really need to do. We know how good he can be, so I'm going to say out of bounds.
But there's no guarantee that you're right. I mean, you might be right. I mean, maybe they are just doing what Tiki just said, or maybe the arms barking a little bit, and there's a little initial concern here. So I certainly hope it's the former, not the latter, because when this guy's on the mound and in the box, it's the most special thing we've ever seen in baseball history. Mm-hmm. I mean, whatever you thought Babe Ruth did, Babe's one of the top two or three players of all time. I mean, Ohtani is just dwarfing whatever Babe Ruth did. It's just look at the numbers. I'm going to say in bounds. This has always been my position. It's always been my position. Ohtani has a chance with that easy opposite field power. He's got good wheels. You know, he's already got 20 steals. He could be a 30 stolen base guy if he really wanted to. He can go down as a transformative hitter. And I don't see the two-way juggle really lasting a whole lot longer, unfortunately.
Are you in or are you out?
This is a great one. I actually tweeted about this the other night. So Royals catcher Salvador Perez hit home run number 45.
Wow.
I mean, he has been great. He's got 112 ribbies, I think it is. Which, by the way, ties Johnny Bench's mark back in 1970 for most home runs for a full-time catcher in a season. Now, he's made 7 All-Star teams. He's won 5 Gold Gloves. He's a World Series MVP, obviously a World Series champion. And while he's currently 17th all-time in homers for a catcher, he'll almost certainly finish in the top 7 as you build out and project forward. In or out, Salvador Perez will be a baseball Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I'm going to say inbounds to this, BT. Because of the position he plays, he's leading the league in RBIs and home runs. And we thought that Vlad Jr. was going to do this. But it looks like Salvador Perez is going to steal some of that thunder from him. And he's only 31 years old. I mean, he feels like he's been around so much longer.
Great point.
I don't know why.
I was a little surprised he was only 31, too.
You look at the numbers, and you're like, man, this guy's been really good for a catcher home run-wise, really his whole career. You know, in the 20s, multiple years, and 45 this year, this explosion. So I'm going to say, extrapolating this out another 6 years or so.
Yep.
I think he's going to get about 300 home runs and or more, and be viewed as one of the all-time greats. So yeah,
inbounds. I'm with you, Teak. I'm totally with you. And this is what I tweeted. I guess it was about 2 weeks ago. I mean, along the lines of how many times in real time have we watched a singular season alter the view of one's Hall of Fame candidacy?
Yeah, right.
Like, it's usually, if not always, number one, it's either greatly assumed this guy's a superstar, he's obviously getting in if he's not cheating, or just an incredible accumulation of numbers that, like Craig Biggio, where you're like, guy's got 3,000 hits, he's getting into the Hall of Fame. Yes, he's going to be a Hall of Famer here. Now, I was a little surprised he's only 31 as well, and you need to remember, 2 years ago, he missed the entire season at age 29 because of Tommy John surgery.
Yeah.
So he's got 197 bombs now. He'd probably have about 225 or 230 if he didn't get hurt that year, minimally 220, 225. And, basically every year he's been in the bigs, he's either been an all-star, a gold glove catcher, or a silver slugger recipient.
Yes.
Which obviously is awarded to the top hitter at whatever position.
That's right.
I am a huge fan. And he's a good catcher.
Yeah.
Yes.
His career fielding percentage over 10 seasons is .995.
Oh, here we go. Going field percentage.
Seriously.
Get into the baseball weeds.
I'm just looking. I'm just like, all right, let me look at these advanced statistics.
I'll really be impressed if you tell me what his OPS plus is.
OPS
about
plus?
About 120-something? Well,
how about you guess it, and I'll tell you if you're right.
I would say... I'm going to say he's
this
about
year?
No, for his career.
Career, you might be surprised.
OPS plus? OPS plus.
Plus.
The adjust.
Yes.
129?
104.
Yeah?
Yeah. This year it's 130, though.
I thought you were talking about this year.
No, I'm talking.
Oh, for his career.
Career is 104.
What's his career war? About 5 or 6?
Where is war? That's in advanced. I got to find it again.
Career war? I'm just throwing you on this wild goose chase, which probably isn't great for you and great for the show. It doesn't really matter.
Doesn't matter.
I think a fun debate. Go crunch some numbers. You want to be a geek like I've done a few times. Go look at what Buster Posey's done and throw it up there against, Perez. Now, the OPS, some of the numbers. Posey's a lifetime 300 hitter, by the way, and he's a 3-time champion. But Posey's going to be 35 next season.
Yeah.
To Tiki's point, Perez is only 31. He's going to put up a few more big seasons. I think we're both right. He will get in.
Are you in or are you out?
I love those geeky baseball things. I mean, I could just talk about that stuff all day. I love it. How about this? Kentucky's string of 18 seasons with a top 2 recruiting class came to an end last year. All right, they pulled in the nation's 10th best recruiting class.
29.4, by the way.
29.4 what?
Career war.
No, I mean, what's his war this year? What did I say? 5 or 6? 5.2. Okay. So John Calipari is back on top. He landed his third, at least in terms of the recruiting rankings, five-star recruit for 2022. Sixth-rated player Chris Livingston, giving Coach Cal the top class right now. Now, despite his coaching and recent successes, he's made four Final Fours, seven Elite Eights since taking over in 2009, but he's just got the one championship.
Yeah.
In Lexington, you got to win chips. So, John Calipari cannot be considered an elite all-time coach with just one title on his resume.
I mean,
in a row.
Obviously, the answer is in bounds, but
why? Why obviously?
Because you think about the like the Woodens
of the
world,
and
the Dukes or the Coach K's of the world.
I mean, how many's Tom Izzo have?
Elite all time. That's
I think Tom Izzo's an elite all time.
Elite all time is what? Top five?
No, I mean I'd stretch it out because you got to throw out the old names, the Woodens, and
yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, elite. Those are very.
How about this in the post 1980?
This is the problem. This is a superlative world we live in, and when you put things like elite and all time together, to me it's top five.
It's nebulous, Mike. What did you mean? Do you mean top five or top 10?
I meant like the elite of the elite, like top five.
He's not a top five, not a top 10 coach of all time.
Like that, really like the best of the best of the best group.
But hold on a second now. I got you. He's not top five, not top 10. So my answer is out of bounds there. I don't even know if he's top 15.
Yeah.
If you want to
but
really
be fair.
But as far
as being a coach and putting guys in the league.
That's the thing.
It's a different answer.
Now LeBron's, you know, second or third greatest of all time behind Michael Jordan and Kareem, depending upon where you sit. That's where I sit. But we can look at LeBron and say, in addition to his on-court greatness, he also helped with the business of the league by joining forces.
That's right.
John Calipari altered the structure of the game by using one and done as a blueprint for achievement.
Agreed.
So his place is special, but you'd like to see him win one more too to really validate that.
It's too much ambiguity in that question, Samter.
Ooh, getting on Samter, which I'm always here for. I'm here for it.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Seriously though, Salvador Perez's season is insane. He's got 45 home runs nothing around him.
And 112 RBIs.
Yeah. With nothing around, as a catcher.
I know.
With nothing around
him. I honestly can't think of another player on the Kansas City Royals right now. Off the top of my head. If I looked, I'd probably say, oh, yeah, I know that guy.
Yeah, there's not many.
Top of my head, I can't call it.
Well, most of the guys from the World Series are gone. That's the point.
That's the problem.
Man, he has been phenomenal. By the way, if it wasn't for Ohtani, he'd be the MVP.
Right.
Be the MVP. Hour two coming up. Gainesville, the swamp. Here comes Bama next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.